And we'll go ahead and get started here. So to open up with, I'm going to tell you about some humility here. When we did all of our boat, this is actually a shot of our boat in Florida before we sold it. I had to take a picture of it because before we left, I'm like, going, it was our baby. But paying attention, it was a whole different mindset, if you will. When you're out in your car and you're going to go on a trip somewhere, if your car breaks down, it's not really, I mean, it's a pain in the butt. It's awkward, but, you know, okay, am I going to get stuck in a blizzard? Possibly not. Or other cars going to come by to be able to help you? Probably. When you're on a boat, it's a whole different mindset, because when you're out there 20 miles at sea, taking things seriously is really important. So all the things that I did as I learned from this were all experience as we, you know, go from one boat to another boat to another. And so we learned, you know, how much gas we needed to have, that we needed to have so much ice to keep the fish protected. I learned that when you put the boat into the dock, that you have to take the strap off. Boat won't come off without that. I actually did hear somebody tell me in Florida that somebody was a new boat owner and they didn't know how to take it off. And so they backed their car down far enough and just released it from the hitch and was driving this pontoon boat with the trailer still. It was still connected from the eyelet on the front and still had the straps on the back. So they have this trailer going through the water with them. I'm like, going, that I would love to see. But anyways, we learned these things. It was by trial and error, some of them. Some of them was by wisdom. And so the biggest thing I found out is, hey, let's get the secrets. What works, what doesn't work when it comes to this? And so learning these things and paying it, I didn't want to pay the hard price of not paying attention and then something major happen and now we're, you know, our life's in peril. Paying attention to your enemies, for they are the first to discover your mistakes. This is some Greek philosopher dude, disciple of Socrates. But it's very important to see that, because you think about that. Who's going to be the first one to attack? I mean, I look at political parties who will actually send people out to go dig up and dredge dirt. They're going to look deeper than anybody else. I think about that going into politics. Your advisor, the first thing they would have to say to you is, tell me everything, because it's going to come out. Mm-hmm. Tell me everything. And it's not going to come out until the other person starts looking for it. And so our adversary knows our weaknesses. They're going to be looking for it as well. The adversary is going to be plaguing us on our weaknesses as well. The times you were not paying attention. And so this is kind of interesting when you think about it. Okay, when was I not paying attention? I saw a T-shirt one time where a guy said, I'm too broke to pay attention. Some of the times you do it are funny. Like, it's always, I remember in school, when the teacher would call on you and you were somewhere in La La Land and they're up there writing something on the chalkboard and whatnot, and they call on you and you're like going, all of a sudden you snap back to reality and you have a short little heart attack and you're like going, what is she even talking about? Okay, so Mr. Saunders, why don't you answer the question? I'm like going, what class am I even in right now? I don't even know. I'm in La La Land. So I mean, it can be funny sometimes. It's embarrassing. Sometimes it can cost us money for not paying attention. I blew up a truck from driving it from Cheyenne back to Fort Collins, and the engine overheat light came on and we had the stereo cranked up and we were having a good old time in there and didn't even notice it. And the engine seized and it melted one of the pistons. And my boss was not happy about that. So not paying attention cost a lot of money. Some were very damaging. Some could be life-ending by not paying attention. I think about that with somebody on a power line. Okay, you're working with dangerous stuff. It should be a mindset that, for crying out loud, if I mess up here, this could be big. It's like we were talking about the other day. With plumbing, I don't mind working on something, because if the worst case, you got a drip, you shut the whole water off. Yeah, you got a little bit of water to clean up. Electricity, not so much. I'm a little bit more cautious with that. And so I put things in different areas depending on how I value them for what I need to pay attention to. Something that's kind of minimal, maybe not so much. Anytime we ignore and fail to pay attention to Yahweh and His Word, we are asking for heartache and trouble. And life as it is, it's already got enough problems and things that we're going to be subject to, for having illness, watching our family, you know, get older and die, some of the things that we go through. So to be outside of that, to pay attention to that, most of the world does not pay attention. And so when I'm calling for it, I'm saying to pay attention and the attention to detail. One of the things that I really learned when I was flying, it was the same mindset in the air as it is in the water, even more so. Okay, in the water, if your engine dies and everything just goes out on you, your only fear is that you're out there for too long or a storm comes. Okay? But you're still okay. You're still floating. When you're in an airplane, not so much. You are going to do a controlled crash. Okay? That's it. And so we learned a lot of the things and the priorities. And a lot of these things were learned by trial and error. And for example, one of them that we always had to go through and do the classes, and one of them was a commercial airliner that went into Dallas. And it was a commercial airliner, and when they were coming in on short arrival, a light came on that wasn't supposed to come on. And both the pilot and the co-pilot started tinkering around with it and messing down. And it was low down on the flight controls. They're messing around with it and didn't realize that they slipped way under their glide path that they were coming in on. And they crashed. They landed almost a mile short of the runway. And everybody on that plane died. And the only way they found this is because of the voice recording of the box. They heard the two going back and forth. Well, just try to pry it out. Just pull it out. And they got focused on something that was not a priority. Okay, that is not the priority at the time. And so they came out with all kinds of guidance, and we had to do it in the Air Force as well. And all pilots do this, and it's the ANC, and it stands for Aviate, Navigate, and Communicate. And I think about that in our lives as well for us, that, you know, when everything hits a fan, we gotta do what we're supposed to be doing, then we can help other people. If we're out of fellowship and we're not living correctly, you're not really going to be able to help out the other person. So that's the aviate portion of that. You be in fellowship, you be doing what's correct so that you can help the next guy down the road. The aviate means you fly the plane. The plane goes in the right direction, you're not crashing. Second one is the navigate. So this is the order that you do them. Navigate to make sure that you're not flying into a mountaintop or into, you know, a zone that you're not supposed to be in. And the last one is to communicate. And it was very important whenever something would happen on the airplane, everything would stop and we'd immediately go back to that. The plane is in control. We have control of the plane. We have a malfunction, but there's a problem. Next thing is we do the navigation. Once one's taken care of, then we go to the next and the next. And the same for our lives, we do this. We had an incident when we were in Okinawa. Naha Airport, it's an international airport. And the airspace around it is really secured as far as the planes coming in, because the airport goes right out to the water, right out to the beach. And they bring in 747s. It was a dual runway, very busy runway. And when we'd fly some of the missions that we would fly, as Okinawa was kind of sickle-shaped, we'd fly right to that area, and then we'd kind of divert back out. And while we were flying after we'd made an airdrop, and we're flying, and all of a sudden we had a major malfunction. And both pilots now are aviating. They're making sure they're taking care of this. The navigator was trying to help them as well. And so I was able to look to see where we were, call the towers, call the approach controls, and let them know, hey, here's where we are. We're having an in-flight emergency. We need clearance just to go through your airspace here where it's such and such altitude. No problem. Took care of it. It was, oh golly, it was an hour or so later after we'd done that they're like going, holy cow, the pilot's like going, I just violated this airspace. We could have caused a problem. And that's where it was the working together. And the body of Christ doing that. But the first thing is if you're not in the game, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss those things. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I was pretty happy we did that because it saved the pilot from getting in a lot of trouble. And it saved other possibilities, you know, from aircraft, you know, avoidance type thing. But it's the whole thing of being one person being able to help the other. If you're not in position to do it, you're not going to be able to do it. And so yourself first, then your family, your friends, and the body of Christ to be able to take care of them. Okay, attentive to Yahweh. So this is where we're going to kind of be focusing here on 4 points. To listen attentively, guard the heart, keep the corruption away, and to stay clearly focused ahead as far as where we're going, what we're doing at any point. And so that's the aviation as well, if you will. Attention to detail. Here we go. Attention to detail. I had no idea, never even heard of this concept until I came in the military. And I was one that was lacking for me. And it is something that can be learned. It absolutely can. I do my paper route, and I do a different route each way. It didn't make a difference. You know, sometimes it'd be on the porch, sometimes it wouldn't. I try to do a good job. But refers to the concentration of the minutiae. And yes, I use that word minutiae. That makes up a larger job or issue. In many cases, those who have this skill perform better at their jobs than those who do not. This is because the quality can help ensure the tasks are completed fully and without errors that later need correction. Now, I will tell you this. Attention to detail can get you into trouble. The attention to detail, if you focus on the wrong detail, that's the whole point. To be able to prioritize what the detail is. But to have that attention to detail to know. The attention to detail, as I go through this teaching, is to know the word. To know what we have. To know when Yahweh gives us those words, what they mean, how to interrelate them to us, and what His commandments are, what we can and what we can't do. Simple math. Okay, this is kind of a story that I came across that kind of made me laugh. A teacher is trying to teach the kids about math, and she's also trying to teach them to think properly. Think about things. Don't just spit out an answer and have it memorized. Think about it. So she asks one of the girls in the class, Sally, if I give you two rabbits, and then I give you two more rabbits, and then I give you two more rabbits, how many rabbits do you have? And she says, seven. Teacher goes, okay, now pay attention. Really pay attention to this. Listen to what I'm saying and really concentrate. Two rabbits, I give you two more, and then I give you two more. How many rabbits will you have? And she said, I'll have seven. She goes, okay, how about this? How about if I give you two apples, and I give you two more apples, and then two more apples? And she goes, that'd be six. And she goes, well, what's the difference? And then she goes, teacher, I already have a rabbit at house.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, that's it. Yeah. That's the attention to detail. She was thinking, okay, adding them up. Okay. Anyway, let's start off here, and we do have a lot of scripture, so call them off once you get to the page. And I will have some peeps help me read, please. First Peter 4, going to be on page 241.
Peter.
241, starting in verse 7. Top right corner, 7 and 8. But the end of all things hath drawn near. Be of sound mind, therefore, and be sober or watchful for prayers, before all things keeping fervent your love among yourselves, because love covereth a multitude of sins. All right, and my son, this is where I'm kind of going to pop this in a few times. My son, being Yahweh speaking this, to my words attend, to my sayings incline thou thine ear. First portion of that, what and who influences you? Okay, because as we go through those 4 points we're talking about here, who influences you? Flip over to Proverbs 4:20, and this is going to be the guide basically of this entire teaching. You can leave a marker there because we're going to come right back close to that area if you want to save yourself from having to look again. But Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27, and if somebody would read that for me.
I will. It's page 611.
Thank you.
Old Testament. It's about the middle of the book, Bible, remember? The middle.
About this thick. Get a girl. Doing good.
Right there. 611.
Okay, but will an adult read that for me? Well, you said you were thinking. Thank you.
To my words attend. To my sayings incline thou thine ear. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For life they are to them who find them. And to every part of one's flesh they bring healing. Above all that must be guarded, keep thou thy heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Remove from thee perverseness of mouth. And craftiness of lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes right onward look, and thine eyelashes point straight before thee. Make level the track of thy foot, that all thy ways may be directed aright. Decline not to the right hand or to the left. Turn away thy foot from wickedness.
That's it. That includes all 4 points of this. So this is kind of the anchor of this sharing here is that portion right there, those 7 verses. Now, go back to where we were. We're going to be jumping around. I do have a lot of scriptures here tonight, guys. So 1 Peter 5.
242. And then in the new.
And I'll read this one. 1 Peter 5:5 through 9. In like manner, ye younger men, submit yourself unto elders. And whoever one towards another, gird on humility, because Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself. Whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. All your anxieties cast upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your slanderous adversary is a roaring lion, is walking about seeking to devour. Whom resist, steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings in your brotherhood that is in this world are being accomplished. And we all know that our adversary is working overtime, especially when people start manifesting. When Christ gave us authority, and we are the body of Christ, and he said we could do everything that Christ could do, that everything that he could do. Okay, Yahushua said this to us when the adversary had to go into overtime to start to squelch that, so that you didn't have a whole bunch more Yahushuas walking around the earth. Okay, he's working overtime for that. And so for us, we have to do this. We have to know this. Knowing our enemy and what is capable is knowing ourselves and how we can be attacked. What's my vulnerability does not mean somebody else's vulnerability, but I have to know what it is so I can shield and protect myself. Two words here. Be sober. Okay, when you look those up, it's calm, collected, temperate. And the watchful is give strict attention to be cautious and active. Flip to Proverbs 12:15, and we'll let one of the children read this one.
I'll do it, but...
Melania, in the Psalms, in the middle of the book. Proverbs is right after the Psalms.
Oh.
The next book after, go to your right. Find Proverbs.
Proverbs.
Good girl. Proverbs 12:15.
12:15.
Going to be on page 618.
I'm almost there.
That's fine.
Here we go. 618. Verse 12 to 15.
Just 15. Just verse 15.
Chapter 12, verse 15.
Got it. The way of the foolish is right in its own eyes, but he hath hearkeneth to counsel is wise.
That's it. The way of the foolish, right in his own eyes. Okay? And not only right in his own eyes, he's going to tell you and try to convince you right in your eyes as well. Okay? And this is a trick, and it's a trap. The foolish man will do this. There are some that live in a dream world, oblivious to the evil in this age. I mean, I can name a whole bunch of them right now, current events. Okay? This always made me laugh when I see this, because this means absolutely nothing. Any righteous person would have no problem living next to another righteous person. Okay? It is the evil. The righteous cannot dwell amongst the evil. Okay? And so, we want the people to be righteous, to have freedom. This is kind of where I saw a bumper sticker that had these two, and I kind of had to laugh about that. Okay? Because it shows that. How are you going to coexist with Hitler? How are you going to coexist with Pol Pot? Okay? Kill over 3 million people in Cambodia. How do you do this? Okay? Can you coexist with them? Yeah, you can either submit to them and do what they tell you or die. And a lot of times it's just you're going to die. Okay, so I like the bottom one there too. It shows that capitalism, NRA, strength through peace, Dixie, liberty, Tea Party, and Christianity. Okay, how tolerant these coexist people? Because I laugh when I see a coexist bumper sticker, and then you see all the hate stuff in the other bumper stickers that they have, and I'm like, going, boy, house divided, they're kind of torn, aren't you? Okay, but the thing is to realize that people are going to be, they're going to try to convince you that my idea is right. I heard it in the radio the other day. They're now trying to debunk the Big Bang Theory. And they want to squelch it. And they're saying that we can scientifically prove that this didn't happen. And the scientists are doing just like they're doing with global warming. They're burying them and telling them they better shut up. You better be quiet. Because this is an accepted theory. We don't want to hear anything else. Okay? And so to be convinced, you just sing along, do it, you know, get in line and march with them. What's the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know and I don't care. Okay? And that's the mentality of so many people that we see, and that's what we come in contact with. Okay, the I don't know and I don't care mentality seems to be the philosophy of a lot of people, a lot of young people, a lot of people in college. And so I'm laughing because of this whole wealth redistribution. It's so unfair. It's so unfair. And the college now, the professors are making more money than they ever have. And you pay $300 for a college book. And so let's do this wealth right here. Oh, we're going to have free college now, right? 2 years of free college. Let's have the professors donate 2 years of their time to give these kids... Not going to do that. That's for you. That's not for me. Not for me type of a deal. And so you see that. If people are being taught this way and being raised up this way, and that's where we're out there to try to break that mold down. They don't know what is happening morally, and in this country, some others, it doesn't seem to matter either way. Even those that do know what's happening don't seem to care. Some of them are actually trying to push it, knowing what they're doing and still trying to push it. To my son, to my words attend these sayings, incline thou thine ear, what Yahweh communicates to us. Let's go to Psalms 85:8, and we'll let one of the other kids want to read this one now? Okay, 85:8.
Isaiah, you going to read?
Yeah.
Awesome.
85:8 is actually going to be on page 574, top left.
I will hear what God, Yahweh, will speak, for he will
speak
prosperity to his people, and to me and his men of loving kindness, and to them who turn will with their heart unto him.
That's it. And so we know, very good job too, by the way, we know that we, you know, the whole time that I think of the captivities with, you know, Israel and with Judah, that Yahweh's people were still protected. What were we going to do for dinner? We have no clue. Where are we going to live? We have no clue. But there are still going to be these times. And I think about that through hard times. It's real easy in you know, when we're living basically on the fat, which we are. America, we're very fortunate. We've been a blessed country, and we want to keep it that way. But when you look at it, my reliance and my everything that I get is going to be coming from Yahweh. And so the words Yahweh says in there, he says right there, what El Yahweh will speak and bespeak prosperity to his people. He is not wanting his people to be out on the hunger or be unclothed or not have the things that they need. He's there to provide it and able to provide it. Flip over to James. 1 James. That's right. 1 James, not 2 James.
It's close to the answer.
Call me on a page when you get there.
Oh, 284.
I didn't have a marking.
234.
234. Very close.
235.
New Testament, 234.
Okay, and when I actually wasn't going to have you guys read this, but since you're there, somebody read verse 19 for me, would you please?
Ye know my brethren beloved, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
That's that. Okay, so we're told to be fast in one thing. Okay? And that's to hear, to listen, to be slow to speak, and to be slow to anger. In verse 22, become ye doers of the word and not hearers only, reasoning yourselves away. The reasoning is the deceiving. Okay? And so people who know the word and don't want to do it have deceived themselves. Why are they not doing it? Are they above it? They just don't feel like it? They prefer this over the other? Or they justify why it's okay to do this, even for a short period of time? You know what? For this block of time, I'm going to do this. That's deceiving. That's reasoning yourself astray. Guarded, keep thou thy heart. So a couple of them here from Proverbs. For just as he hath thought in his own mind, so he is. Okay? And as you go through this, we're going to see this where the heart and the mind kind of dictates what's in the what the body is. Let's go to Matthew 12.
Page 11.
12:33-35. And how about an adult for this one here?
Matthew 12. Ready? Mm-hmm. Oh, you are. Okay. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree worthless and its fruit worthless. For from the fruit the tree is known. Broods of vipers, how can ye speak good things, being evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man, out of the good treasure, putteth forth good things. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, putteth forth evil things.
That's exactly it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what's going to come out, the fruit that's going to come out, what they're doing, what they're participating in, is going to show. I think it was Carnegie who said that. He goes, I don't listen to what the man says. I see what the man does. And I'm like, oh, because it's really easy to say one thing, but that's not the fruit. The fruit is what's actually the produce of it, what comes from it. To trust in man, flesh, or to trust in Yahweh. Let's go to Jeremiah 17.
Old Testament.
Good job. Old Testament. Very good. Did you get it?
Not all of it.
Right after Isaiah. We're going to be on page 733.
733, Melania. Old Testament.
Old Testament?
Yeah, 733. Mm-hmm. Old Testament. That's the New Testament.
No, she's not in the New Testament.
Oh, she's not?
No.
Oh.
You're right
there. You're right there, baby.
Oh, sorry.
You're actually in Jeremiah.
Oh.
Page 733, sweetie.
You're in Jeremiah.
All right. Verses 5 and 9. Here we go in verse 5. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. Thus saith Yahweh, accursed is the man who trusteth in the son of earth, and hath made flesh his arm or his strength, and whose heart from Yahweh turneth aside. And then jump down to verse 9 here as well, here, which is actually across the page on the other side. Verse 9. Deceitful is the heart or mind above all things, and dangerously wayward, who can know it? Okay, and so that's where we have to control those things, that the things are going to come to us where we have to diminish them, get rid of them. We have to not let those things be corrupt, that we continually cleanse ourselves and free ourselves from the world, from the things that come to us, from the people who are trying to also corrupt us. Out of the heart, a few of them here. O Yahweh, who shall be a guest in thy tent? Who shall abide in thy holy mountain? He that walketh without blame and doeth what is right and speaketh truth in his heart. Also from Psalms, I have set Yahweh before me continually, because he is on my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore hath my heart rejoiced and my honor exalted. Yea, my flesh shall settle down securely. Another one from Psalms. The word of my mouth and the soft utterance of my heart shall come with acceptance before thee, O Yahweh, my rock and my redeemer. Okay? Great verses there to have to help pull a person through a spiritual crisis or a bad time. This is a great one from Benjamin Franklin. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And think about that with a lie you've ever told, where you tell a lie and now you're into it. And then the lies keep getting, and now you have to lie about that lie. And now you have to lie about two more. It's like an upside-down pyramid, that the first lie you told is the pinnacle of the whole thing. And in everything that you do, you have to tell lies out there to cover all those other lies, and it's not going to take long before that all comes crashing down and the weight builds upon you. The same thing, that the corruption that you see, that it's the freedom is what breaks that. The righteousness breaks that. Other one here, I don't know who this cat is. He's only got one name. The more corrupt the state, the more it legislates. Okay? The same with us. When the sin starts taking over you, the sin will start controlling. It will dictate what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it. It's going to set my schedule to wake up, to go to bed, what I do in between. My work schedule is going to go around these. Anytime you see something where somebody slowly starts going into that, that will start happening. And now it becomes a master. It becomes a master to you where you're serving that master as your flesh. Is a good one here that I liked as well. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off the relish of spiritual things, whatever increases the authority of your body over your mind, that thing to you is sin. And that was a letter to preacher John Wesley from his mother when he was in college. Like, well, that's good because it's custom, because each person's going to battle with different things. And so that's where she writes this out to him to tell him, this is what you watch for. What these things are is going to be different for each person, but to you, that's going to be sin if you serve it versus serving God or serving Yahweh. Let's go to Psalms 119. Verses 9 through 11. It's going to be on page 592.
Why don't you read it, Elijah?
Well, 592.
592.
Elijah's going to read it. 9. Where... Withal can a young man keep pure his way by taking heed according to thy word. With all my heart have I sought thee. Suffer me not for to be led astray from thy commandments. In my heart have I treasured what thou hast said, to the end I may not sin against thee.
That's it. That's great. Okay. Very good job. With all my heart have I sought thee. Suffer me not to be led astray from thy commandments. And that's the big thing. The people think, well, I don't want to obey the commandments. Well, you're going to obey something. You know, it's like the Bob Dylan song. You're going to serve something. And so if you don't want to serve and do the commandments, you're going to serve your flesh, which are going to give you a whole lot more commandments and a whole lot more grief. Clearly focused ahead. This is kind of an interesting thing that I came across. Our eyes are able to intake 11 million stimuli, but our brains can only consciously process about 40. So as you look, fixate on one particular thing and just look at it, but you see everything else around it. But you're not perceiving it unless you change. And so that's how animals a lot of times are able to do that, because they can sense the movement. And that was one of the big things I learned, you know, when I first started hunting, is when you get out there, you're sitting, and you're not just totally scanning back and forth all the time. You're actually fixing on a point, and then you fix on another point. And any movement, when I was sitting at one point just looking at it, any movement that you saw, you'd catch that, and then you'd redirect everything over to it. Now, you're taking some of that in, but you can only take so much in. The colors that are being taken in, our eyes are magnificent. For a creation, it's just incredible what we're able to perceive, what we're able to tell, the distances, everything that we can judge from our eyes. But our brains are only able to do about 40 things from that. They're only be able to calculate those. We process very little of what we're actually viewing. So in other words, what we're out taking and looking at and bringing into us, we're only processing a little bit. However, some of those things may be coming in that we don't want coming in. And so this is where we try to filter some of those things out. Your focus must change to a specific area, peripheral vision versus central vision. So when you look at this picture, do you see the young woman looking away, or do you see the old woman looking down?
I see them both.
I see the young woman looking away.
See, I see the young woman, and it took me a few minutes to find the old lady.
I can't find the lady.
Because you get lost.
I can see both of them.
That's all you see? See, so it's really interesting because it's how we perceive. So I'm going to show everybody who's never seen this before.
I just see the young.
See this here? This is her neck, okay? This is her neck like a necklace, okay? And here's her ear, and here's her eyeball looking back over in that direction. Do you see it?
The young woman, yeah.
That's the young woman.
Yeah, that's all I can see. I can't see the
That's the young woman. And so this is an ear instead of an eye, and that's her looking. This is her chin, her jawbone right here, looking away. And then obviously this is the old woman's nose and her mouth. And so it's how you perceive it. But for so long, people, you still don't see the old lady?
I see the old lady.
This is the old lady here. Look at her. There's her eyeball, here's her nose, and here's her mouth and her chin.
Yeah, I can see her.
Oh, she's ugly.
I can't see the girl.
But it's how you look at and perceive. They're both there. They're both there. And so it's just, it's how our eyes do. And so how we have to perceive, how we have to break it through. It's the same way when we look into the Word, where we get into something and we're like going, okay, not sure about this. Let's verify. Let's not just take this one scripture and say, well, here it is, says it's okay. Let's verify and go through. And so we discern and we decipher all this stuff to make sure what we are getting is actual and correct. And so this is a good example of that because our eyes can play tricks on us. It took me a long time to find the old woman when I saw this.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it going, I don't see her. I absolutely don't see her.
That's the first thing I saw.
And so different people will see different things. And then once you see it, the problem is, you just made an image of it.
Yeah.
And to find the other one, you have to force yourself to go see it in most cases. You have to force yourself to go look out and see. And so that's where it's at. And otherwise, you just look at that. If they flash cards at you, what do you see? There's no right or wrong answer. It's just, if you said both of them, they would probably stop. If you see both of them, it's unique. Okay, most people don't. They'll see one or the other, and then it takes a minute of looking at it before they see the other. And so when we look at the Word, when we're looking at the commandments to make sure we do them right, not knowing the commandments is not going to be a pass. It's the same thing. Not knowing the laws is not going to get you out of court when you do something that you shouldn't have done. Our focus. Colossians. First Colossians.
First Colossians.
Who knows if that's New Testament or Old Testament?
New Testament.
Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians.
Philippians.
206.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Okay, 206, 1 through 4 of chapter 3. And I'll read this here. I'll go ahead and read this. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Okay, 207. If therefore ye have been raised together with Christ, the things on high be seeking, where the Christ is on the right hand of Yahweh sitting. And things on high hold in esteem, not things upon the earth. For ye have died. People are going, whoa, wait a second. Okay. Do we know where we are? Do we know where our authority is? That we've already been seated, that we've already been placed, that we are the seed of Abraham, the offspring of David? We know this. And so by knowing this, we see this. For we've died. Okay, we died. We were crucified with Christ. When we're the body of Christ, we are crucified with Christ. For ye have died, and your life is hid together with the Christ in Yahweh. As soon as the Christ shall be made manifest, your life, then ye also together with him shall be made manifest in glory. Okay? This is the focus to where you get to this area where I'm streamlining everything down. I'm cutting out all the other stuff and I'm alienating it almost to the point where if too much stuff is coming in where I'm trying to process too much stuff, that's where you get out the paper towel roll and you start figuring out where you're going. Okay, focus, streamline yourself down to this, to where you're looking at, to disconnect from all the other garbage, all the other things that are settling you. It might not be something that, oh, I can handle a little bit, you know, like the news. I can normally watch the news and not have a problem. When it starts to get burdensome me and I start wearing down, disconnect. I shut it off for a little while. And I'll totally cut myself off because I'm like going, okay, if this is affecting me or affecting how I feel, gotta go. I gotta stay focused on the other things. Focused on what's important. Hebrews, this should be our last one here, gang. Not Hebrews, but Hebrews.
What's that? Romania, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. First and 2nd Timothy.
Colossians. Philippians.
Wrong way.
No, it's almost to the back.
Page 233.
Hebrews, James.
Page 232, sweetie.
Oh, 230s.
Got it, girl. Did you get it?
Yep.
232, okay. And you see chapter 12 there?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be verses 1 through 3, and I will read this. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so a great cloud of witness, stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangling sin, with endurance let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith's princely leader, our perfecter, Yahushua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him endured a cross, shame, despising, on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh, hath taken his seat. For take ye into consideration him who hath endured such contradiction by sinners against themselves, lest ye be wearied in your souls, becoming exhausted. Okay, and this is where we have to do that, to renew ourselves, regardless of what we're dealing with. It's so easy sometimes when you hear somebody say, oh my gosh, why does this always happen to me? And I think to myself, boy, have I ever said that? Have I ever started, you know, that self-pity and whining about myself? I'm like going to where, okay, let's put things into perspective. Let's put things into perspective and let's refocus and get back to the four steps here of what we need to be doing. And the big one is to the commandments and to stay focused. To stay focused on what you're doing and where you're going so that you can be there to assist a person that's needed. If Christ is calling a person to go do something, somebody needs something, he's calling upon people to do it. If there's nobody to do it, guess what happens? Things go without. Okay, people go without. And we're to be there. I think about that. Even in captivity, the people who were speaking the encouraging words, the people who were still, you know, the speaking Yahweh's word to uplift people, and the people would still find joy, and they would still find celebration, and they'd still be happy in life. And knowing what we know now for what part and where we are in the administration, that we're already seated. We're already there. We've already got the position. And so we're not here yet, but it's like having the tickets, the backstage tickets to a concert, you know, front row. I'm not sitting in the front row, but I got the tickets that say I do. So I'm as good as that. And so that's where we have to just redirect ourselves to keep ourselves engaged in that. Okay, that is all. I will go ahead and close here with a word for anybody watching. I'll close here to start with for our fellowship. And then go into word. Yahweh, we thank you for the words that you've given us, the words that you speak to us, your written word, that we're able to go through it, that we're able to understand it. It's in James where you tell us that if we are lacking wisdom, that we can come before you and that you will give us, you will fulfill that. So we do that when we read your word, that we open up our hearts and we open up our minds, that we're able to just soak in the things that you've done, that we have recall of these things as we read these, that these scriptures are on upon our hearts and upon our walls, that as we are moving about, that we see these and we ponder these continually, that we love for your word, and that we will never be like the wicked that despise the word and try to stifle the prophets, that we seek your word and that we are always eager to hear your word and wanting your word. And so we thank you for that, that you speak to us, that you send correction to us, and that you also commune with us and fill the things that you know that we are seeking and asking, and your promises that you have given. And we thank you for this. We thank you, Christ, for being our head, and that we are able to come before you and serve you as the body. And we thank you for that and for all the things that you've given us. We just speak this all in your name. My children, do not let the seasons plague you or worry you or burden you of your next step. As you look upon life and you think about what's next and where am I going? Am I just a piece of driftwood on a river just lazily floating down? And do not consider yourselves of these things. For as your life is but a vapor, and I'm calling you to excel and to pull out of the lifestyle or the things that are captivating you and holding you back, that you may be able to come before me and speak my words, that I have given you strength and I've given you blessings. As Paul called himself, that he was a chief sinner amongst them. He was a chosen vessel to me. Know that the things that you are ashamed of, or the things that have bothered you or have hindered you, the chains and the tethers that hold you down, that I'm calling you to release, to come before me and to speak in my words, to come to me and hear, that I may hear your voice, that I have heard your supplications, that I know of your desires of prosperity, that you may be able to provide for family, that you may be able to have healing, and that you may be able to speak the words that you've heard others speak. You've heard other people speak boldly in my name, and I'm calling you and telling you, I want you in this. I want you to be speaking these words, that you are a vessel as well, that it is a candle. Lighting another candle does not diminish the first candle. It adds to the light. It adds to my strength.